Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His word. And I trust that you are well and God is keeping, sustaining, and watching over your life. We have been studying the book of 1 Corinthians, and today in our devotions, we shall be examining from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we shall look at this matter of when your brother sins against you, and Paul's concern to the Corinthian church about them taking their cases, you know, to human courts and them suing one another, and it being a concern to Paul because he wonders, don't you have the mind of Christ? Don't you know that you will judge angels? You know, how is it that you are defeated among yourselves to even judge the simple things concerning this life? And this was a concern. Indeed, he was able to get information about the various issues that were taking place in the Corinthian church. And ideally, these were a church that, remember, this is a church that is filled with all knowledge. They are blessed with every gift. They are filled with knowledge. They are blessed with utterance. They were not lacking in anything. In terms of giftings, they were gifted. That means they operated in the gifts of power, healings, manifestation, revelation, prophecy, whether it is miracles, signs and wonders. They worked in all these things. They had all the giftings. But you see, in Christ, maturity is not based on giftings, but it is based on your obedience. It is based on the authority that comes from a life of obedience. You know, when God says that I am ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is complete, I mean, God is ready to exact on us vengeance, is ready to provide for us, to fight the enemy on our behalf when our obedience is complete. Even Jesus said that I am going and I know the prince of this world coming, and yet he finds nothing on me. So when God has given us the grace to live in righteousness and holiness, and we obey that leading, and we don't give the devil any place in our hearts, then we can find that we walk in victory. And the Bible is clear that God is able, you know, to punish all disobedience when our obedience becomes complete. Now, when we look at today in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we address the issues of conflicts among fellow believers. And you see, this is a common thing. Even today, you will find that believers are taking one another to court. And this is because there is always the carnal mind. There is always that spirit of covetousness that desires greed to take over another's property, to take over another's progress. And you see, the challenge with this is that you find that human beings are only selfish. It is a selfish nature that takes them outside and takes them to court. Now let's read and we will be able to see what was the challenge with the Corinthian church. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 1 says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If you then have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one who will be able to judge between you and between his brethren? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers." Verse 7, "Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We're going to pause here and we're going to explore what Paul is clearly addressing. And Paul was concerned that the believers in Corinth were suing one another. They were having issues, they were cheating, they were committing wrong against their fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. And instead of appointing a Christian believer, one that is mature, to judge their issues, they take one another to court, to unbelievers and to those who the church does not consider greater than them. They take it to the courts of human wisdom instead of applying it to the courts of divine wisdom. And this is always a sign of a failure. And you see, that's why I say it is already an utter failure. You have already failed that you go to law against one another. As believers, have we not understood that it is possible to allow yourselves to be cheated, to allow yourselves to be done wrong? Why? For the sake of unity of the faith and unity of brethren. You see, the challenge with this is that you find that those that are taking one another to court are not ready to reconcile. You see, the issue is a matter of the heart. No matter how many times your brother wrongs you, Jesus spoke these words, forgive your brother 70 times, 7 times in a day. Now, what is that place of forgiveness that one as a believer cannot exercise, that they will not rather go to court? Now, there's nothing wrong with a human court, and this is not the place where Paul is saying that human courts are useless. No, they have a place. But you see, when you call yourself a brother and this other person is a brother, it says that you both submit to a higher law. There is a higher law of God that governs your lives, both you and the life of your brother in Christ, or brother or sister in Christ. And this higher law is superior to any human law. And when the higher law applies, it governs you not only to love, it governs you to forgive, it governs you not to steal from your brother, not to be covetous of their property, but also to offer forgiveness and to come to a place of reconciliation. This is the law of God. And that is why anyone that has received the Spirit of God, is filled with the Spirit of God, is baptized in the Holy Spirit, is listening to the Holy Spirit, will always be convicted when they are wrong. Yes, you might think you are right, but you see, when you are sensitive to the tug of the Holy Spirit in your inner man, it will tell you where you are wrong. And when you are confronted with that, then you have a responsibility to go and say you are sorry, to go and apologize. And this is the thing that is necessary for every believer to understand. We have a responsibility to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to be obedient when we have failed, when we have wronged, and to go and make peace, to go and make peace with those we have wronged, to go and make peace with God, and also to offer that aspect like Zacchaeus did, where he said, today I give half of my property, and if there's anyone I have wronged, then I shall pay them 4 times over. There is a place where we make restitution for the things that we have done. Now, Paul is very clear, and he's telling them that you are struggling with this courts, with these court issues, yet it is because you have no idea of who you are. And this is something that as believers we must constantly be reminded. What is it that Christ has done for us? What is it that he has transformed us? Is when he said, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. What does that mean to your life? It means that God has gotten to the place where he has transformed you from just being an earthly man to be a heavenly man. In fact, the Bible tells us that after Adam, everyone sinned because of Adam, but after Christ, everyone is made righteous by putting their faith in and believing in Christ. The first man was earthy, that means he was of the earth, but the last Adam was heavenly, the man from above. So when you're born again, it actually means that you are born from above and you bear the image of the man from above. You bear the image of Christ. The character, the DNA, the nature of your spirit is transformed to the image of Christ. Now, the only challenge is this, that you will find that there's the people who are transformed in their spirit, but you see, man is tripartite, has mind, has a body, and has a spirit. That mind is also the soul. Now, whatever it is that you feed your mind with, or you contaminate your mind and your soul, whatever it is that you feed it is what manifests in the body. If you feed your mind and your soul with fleshly desires, then your body is going to respond accordingly. But if by the Spirit you put to death, you renew your mind, you submit yourself to the law of God, then what you see is that the life of the Spirit is made manifest in your life and you experience the life of God. So now this life is one that will enable you to be able to judge every matter. Remember, the spiritual man is not judged by anyone, but he judges all things. That means that the Spirit of Christ within you is already a spirit that can be able to discern between right and wrong. It's a spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of God is a spirit of wisdom. And that spirit of wisdom has the ability to guide you even in the most difficult situations. And this is something that you will see and experience when you are led by the Spirit of God. Even in the workplace, decisions will come that will be so critical, and you might not even know what to do or to say, but you can be sure at that very moment that God is able to grant you the wisdom. Words of wisdom are granted, thoughts of wisdom are granted, and by them you are able to know the right way. Now he's telling them their position. Don't you know that the saints will judge the world? How will we judge the world? We shall be in Christ. And you see, when we are seated at the judgment seat, when Christ is judging the world, we are part of that. We are part of that. And this is something that you have to know, that we are not separate from Christ. In the Spirit, we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. In the heavens, at this point, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. He has raised us up and sat us up with him in heavenly places, where we are exercise dominion with him. Ephesians 2:6, where we are, if you even look at the end of Ephesians chapter 1, it says, far above all principalities, all dominions, all thrones and powers. And here God has raised him up for the sake of the church. It is for the sake of the church that we are raised up and sat up with Christ. That means that since we sit up with him, we shall judge the world. The world here is the systems of this world. You see, whenever you are, even right now in the world, you condemn the world, even though they don't believe. But by them encountering a man of Christ, a man that is led by the Spirit of God, they know within themselves that they are not walking in righteousness, they are not walking according to the love of God. And they know that there is something amiss with them. When the Bible says that you always carry the aroma of God, to those who are alive, to those who are in life, you bring life to them. But you see, also to those who have rejected the truth of the gospel, you carry the judgments, the aroma of death, because they are clear. Oh, honestly, this man has something in them. This woman has something in them. And unless I submit to that spirit, unless I obey, unless I live according to them, then I know that I am under judgment. Now he's telling them, don't you know, you saints, you will judge the world. Number two, if the world will be judged by you, I mean, are you not unworthy? Don't you see that you can judge the smallest matters? Now, the second part, he also says, you shall judge the world. Second part is, you shall also judge angels. Look at that. Angels are ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. You know, when he says he makes his servants, his ministers winds, and his angels flames of fire, that means that angels are winds. They are flames of fire that they are sent by God to serve those who will inherit salvation. Who will inherit salvation? It is you and me. It is the believers on the earth. Now, if angels are sent to serve, then that means that it tells you that we are not to worship angels. In fact, in the hierarchy of God, God has made man a little lower than Elohim. That means that just below God, God has placed man before angels, before principalities, powers, rulers, and authority. Especially the man in Christ is placed just before Elohim. Elohim is God and the majesty of God. And then next to him is the man in Christ. The man that is born again, the man that is born of the Spirit, has been placed a little lower than Elohim. And that is to tell you that the place of authority is that we don't worship angels. Angels are sent by God to minister to us, and our role is not even to command angels. Think of what Jesus did. Jesus would pray to the Father. He said, "Don't you know that I can pray to the Father, and he can send legions of angels this very moment to preserve us?" So that means that it is ask, how do we interact with angels? We don't worship angels. We acknowledge their ministry, and their ministry is sent to serve us. But how do we interact with them is that we ask the Father, and the Father sends help. Help is always sent in the form of angels. If it is a message to be delivered, if it is a judgment to be delivered, God sends angels in the Spirit to deliver such messages. Now, each of us, God has granted us an angel that resembles us, that stands before our Father. Remember when Jesus speaks about the children, don't you know that their angels are always ever before the face of the Father, that see the face of their Father? So that means God has given us angels assigned for us, individual angels. God has also assigned angels over nations, over territories, and these angels like are there to guard the territory. Just like in the demonic world, they are demonic princes that are over territories, the prince of Persia, the prince of Greece, but yet they are also angels that are over nations. For example, Angel Michael is the angel that is responsible for the nation of Israel. Remember, Angel Michael is the strongest angel, is an angel of war, and he is responsible for the nation of Israel. And that is why God defends his people. Why? Because God has established certain things in his own divine wisdom and purpose. That's why he chose them as a nation. Now, God is clear. If you shall judge the world, and then secondly that, you shall judge angels, how much more the things pertaining to this life? If you're clear that the spiritual man is not judged, cannot be judged by anything, but he judges all things, don't you understand that even when you are wronged by your brother, by your sister, this is something that you can take before God. This is something that you can handle among yourselves. Why don't you find a mediator? Why don't you go to a mature brother among you and express, "I have this grievance against this man or against this woman, and this is what happened. Handle it for us." And the maturity, and especially when it's done by leaders, then the right judgment or wisdom shall be provided. That's why Paul asks, "Is there not a wise man? Not even one. I say this to your shame, that one who can judge between his brethren. So why do you go to court?" So it is a shame, and it is also an utter failure. And he tells them, this is the principle. If it is so serious that someone wants to take you to court, let them be. Let God be your defender. Let God be the judge between you. Leave them. Why don't you rather let yourself be cheated? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not seek itself. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Now, this does not mean that you will just ideally just let people run over you and do whatever they want. No. But he is saying there are times where you can lay down your life for the sake of the unity of the faith, for the sake of the unity of the church. This is a place where if you're slapped in one, turn over the left cheek. This is a place where if someone asks you to carry for him his load for 1 mile, you go an extra mile. I always say there is no competition in the extra mile. Anyone that offers to go over and above that which is a normal man will do, there is always no competition. This is the realm where we win. Why? Because we do that which others are not willing to do. And Paul reminds them, look here, let me remind you, let me give some reality check. I know many of you like saying, oh, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, yet you don't live according to that spirit. Think of what James says, that if, okay, John says that if you claim to love your God and yet you hate your brother, then you do not walk in love. You are not truly born again. Now, he's telling you that love is a true definition of our purity, of our faith. And he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? That means that if you claim to be righteous, if you claim that you have received the forgiveness of God, then you will live in righteousness. You will live in right standing. And it says, do not be deceived. This is a place where people deceive themselves. They think that, oh, just by claiming or by saying that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, they will automatically inherit the kingdom of God. There is an action. There is a place for your obedience. And that, look at what he lists. He said, do not be clear, neither fornicators. Who are fornicators? Those who commit sexual immorality. Those who, all various forms. And the word there is porneia. That means pornography. Every corruption of fornication will not inherit the kingdom of God. Number two, he speaks of idolaters. Who are idolaters? These are those that worship idols, those that have made idols in their heart. Remember, some of the greatest idols are not just physical beings, but some of the greatest idols are actually ourselves. They are those who carry idols in their hearts of men, of, you know, of music, of drama, of actors, of games, and they give more attention, even of their own work, than to God. And that can easily, even your own child, you can make your own child, or even your own husband or spouse, your idol. You can find that before you got a certain level, before you got married, you were committed to the things of God. But you see, when the blessings of life, when you got a wife or a husband, and the children came, and then they became your first priority, that is idolatry. And God is saying, be clear, no fornicators, no idolaters, no adulterers. Adulterers are those that go outside of their marriage covenant, or those that are not married and are sleeping with married people. That is adultery. He speaks of homosexuals, no homosexuals, those that willingly, you know, exchange unnatural relations, man for man, women for women. And this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't know where we get this aspect where people, you have gay, you know, gay priests and gay Christians. The Bible is very clear. Do not be deceived. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You shall not. They shall not. Whether you call yourself, oh, this and this and this, the Bible is clear. Do not deceive yourself. That means you can easily want to deceive yourself and say, oh, I'm born again in my spirit, and whatever I do with my body does not matter. God is saying to us, these things that you're going to do with your body will not give you the kingdom of God. And he says, do not be deceived. Let no one deceive you. The unrighteous, if you're unrighteous, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, those that abuse boys, those that abuse others, they take advantage. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. Neither thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers. Now, this is the thing where you're stealing, you will not go to heaven. Covetous, you are having greed, unnecessary greed to steal your brothers, to take your neighbor's things. You will not go to heaven. Nor drunkards. I know people will argue and say, oh, I just drank a little. The question is, do you know the God's definition of a drunkard? Is it going to be 5% alcohol? Is it going to be 12%? Is it going to be 0.1%? Do you know God's definition of a drunkard? Now, is that something that you want to find out on the day of judgment? To know that, to be told that, oh, actually, what I was taking to God is classified as a drunkard. And by this, I miss out the kingdom of heaven. God is very clear. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. You know, culture can tell you otherwise. Oh, culture can tell you, oh, look at all these people. Oh, they drink and they're going to heaven. They're moving in the gifts. Oh, they can pray in tongues. They can heal the sick. They are prophetic. Yet they drink. Yet they are constantly taking alcohol. Yet God has said that do not be drunk with wine, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just because something is in culture does not mean it is of God. Just because the society has accepted it does not mean it is of God. Just because your man of God, your respected church elders have accepted it as part of their life does not mean that it is of God. The Bible is very clear. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived by the deception of this world. Do not be deceived by the actions of other men. Do not be deceived by the actions of icons. The Bible is clear. The word is clear for you that this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And this is a place where you examine yourself and ask yourself, this is not just a matter of saying with your words, oh, I'm the righteousness of God. It's a matter of judging ourselves and asking ourselves through the Holy Spirit, are we living according to the righteous requirements that God has given us? Look at it, revilers, those that say false things, extortioners, those that rob others, those that are doing businesses that are exploitative in nature. None of this, the Bible is clear, do not be deceived. They shall inherit the kingdom of God. And it says, verse 11, which is a key verse, and this is what some of you were. This is how some of you were. How were you? You were all this. He's speaking to the church. He's telling, this is how some of you were. But what happened? But you were washed. That means your sins were forgiven. God cleansed you. And then he said, you are sanctified, but you are sanctified. The word there is hagiazo. That means you are set apart. You are consecrated and declared to be holy. That means the holy things belong to God. You are not only cleansed of your sins, but you are also set aside and set for the kingdom of God. Remember in the Old Testament, when something was sanctified unto God, it became God's property. And no matter what, no one could take it back. That cow, once you've given it to God, it's no longer your property. And it can only be used for the service of the kingdom of God. So you went with it as yours, but when you handed it over to the priest, it belongs to God. Now, that is what God is saying. But that is what some of you are. You are washed, but you are sanctified. You are consecrated. You are set apart for the things of the kingdom. And he says also, but you are justified. What is justification? Justification is the command, is the judgment, is the declaration of not guilty. The declaration that you have right standing with God. This is what God did. Yes, all these men were these things in the past. Some of you were, you know, idolaters, adulterers. And remember, this is very important because Corinth is a place where there was a lot of temple prostitution. And he's telling them, you guys used to do all these things. But something happened to you when you met Jesus. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. You were set apart from God. And you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is a seal of ownership. I tell you, when you know that the Spirit of God is in you, when you sense His voice, then that means it is a seal that guarantees your inheritance of the kingdom of God, knowing that you are marked by the Spirit of God. Now, if you find yourself still doing these things, if you need to check your spirit is set for God, and it is just that you are allowing your carnal nature to blind you, your flesh to take over, and it is for you to stop your flesh, to beat your body, and to make it your slave, that you may inherit the kingdom of God. God is giving us stern warnings to us today. Let us check ourselves, let us examine ourselves, but above that also, let us be ready to submit ourselves to the mind of Christ, to be judged by fellow believers, knowing that these judgments are by the Spirit of God. We should not be defeated. We should not be utterly shamed where we are taking one another to court and not allowing for the place of forgiveness and for the place of love to prevail. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for speaking to us in a language that we understand. I speak a word of blessing, healing over your people, those that need to be born again, that they may submit themselves to you, O God. And indeed, if there's an area of correction that you've pointed out to us, O God, I pray that your children shall receive it and they shall walk in truth and in your judgments, O God. I pray all this in Jesus' name. We pray and believe. Amen. Shalom. Blessed day ahead.